I thought you could sense it with your pater tingle. Welcome to Quarantinema, aka Quarantinema, aka Quarantine Anima, the only podcast where we don't know how to say the name of the show. My name is Connor Sullivan. Thank you very much for joining us today. Happy Monday, everybody. We're closing in on 200 episodes, so I'm excited for that. That's going to be just a real grand accomplishment. So clap it up for all the listeners out there. But not yet. We're not there yet. Still got a few episodes to go. But a little bit of a light week this week. In terms of movie watching for me, it was more of a video games and TV shows kind of week. I think I mentioned it in one of the last couple of episodes, but Brandon and I have been rewatching Stranger Things. And today we just had ourselves a nice little like lazy Sunday afternoon, and I'm pretty sure we watched probably five or six episodes just back to back to back. So we finished up season two today. I'm excited to rewatch season three because I've only seen that the one time. And this is just such a good show. It's one of the most bingeable shows I think I've ever seen. I think when season two came out, I'm pretty sure I actually used a vacation day from work to sit at home and watch the whole thing in one sitting. And my boss still made me come in that day because I think I only had 2 weeks vacation, at that job. And I put in one of the vacation days for it, and my boss told me something along the lines of we need you guys to come in that day. It's like, you know, that, you know, we have a lot going on. Like, we have this really big meeting. And it was at the place I worked, it was the beginning of our off season. We had just finished, you know, the busy part of our year. So we were finally facing a little dip in time so people could actually start to do, you know, take some time off. And he's like, no, you got to come in. We need you here on Friday. It's like, all right, well, then I'll come for the meeting, but nothing else. I'm not, sticking around in the afternoon. I got plans. Didn't tell him why. But, you know, it's my vacation time. He doesn't get to know. But yeah, I came in, and, it was just, a weekly status report. And I wore a Hawaiian shirt, a bathing suit, and, sombrero or a bucket hat to work that day, just because I wanted to let it be known that I was on vacation. This is really only a great story if you're me. On the outside looking, it's really not that great a story. So anyway, let's talk about Spider-Man. We are talking about Spider-Man Far From Home, the second Spider-Man entry in the MCU, the seventh overall Spider-Man movie, eighth, I guess, if you count Into the Spider-Verse. So let's talk about it. So the Tom Holland Spider-Man era, the MCU in particular, I think he does a great job. It's similar to Batman. It's a little different because, you know, Batman's been around for a lot longer, at least. You know, you go back to Adam West, and there's Michael Keaton, Christian Bale, Val Kilmer, Ben Affleck, George Clooney for a little bit. So you've had all these different people play Batman. But with Spider-Man, you've had three actors play him within a 20-year span of each other. So it's all kind of similar. And Tobey Maguire was, of course, the original. Did three Spider-Man movies there. Then Andrew Garfield picked up the reboot in the Amazing Spider-Man series, and those kind of stunk, if you ask me. He also just wasn't neither him or Tobey Maguire really believable teenagers. But Tom Holland does such a great job of playing a believable, the fact that he's this 15, 16 year old kid, something like that, however old he's supposed to be. So, and I love the enthusiasm with, you know, which he plays the part, this whole childlike innocence, but he's also this whiz kid. You know, he's Tony Stark's right hand guy, or he looks up to him as a father figure, which I thought was always a cool thing that they did in these movies. And what movies was he in? First time we saw him was in Civil War. Then I know he got his own. Then it was what was the first one called? Spider-Man Homecoming. So then it was Homecoming. Then we saw him again in Avengers Infinity War. Then again in Endgame, and then this. And then, yeah, this was the last movie in Phase 3 of the MCU. So, and then there's another one coming out this December. The trailer just became the most, yeah, what is it? Not Far From Home, because that's the one we're talking about. No Way Home or something? Yeah, No Way Home. That became the highest or the most viewed trailer in 24 hours. Broke the record with it was like something crazy, like 300 million views. Like, if you really think about it, like a decent percentage of people on Earth watch the trailer for the Spider-Man movie. And supposedly they're bringing all the villains back, you know, from the other two. Like, you know, we I mean, we saw Alfred Molina's Dr. Octopus. We saw the little goblin ball thing from. You know, the original Spider-Man with Willem Dafoe. We didn't see actually see Willem Dafoe, but you know he's rumored to be in it. You know, Jamie Foxx is supposedly going to be back. So I'm excited. I'm really excited for that one. I've always liked Spider-Man movies. I think as far as MCU characters go, I think the Spider-Man movies are a nice like change of pace. I think. You know, the fact that like a lot of the main characters are like high school kids, although none of them are really believable high school kids, the fact that a lot of them are high school kids, like it adds a little bit of comedy, like much needed comedy to the MCU because some of the stuff can be so heavy. And like I said before, like the MCU, you know, we've talked about it a bunch of times. Like Guardians of the Galaxy was the one that kind of like cracked the formula. It's just like, okay, like let's like these movies can be funny. So like when you can tell that they're not having that much fun, like you know, the original Thor movies. You know, the Hulk, what are some of the more recent ones that aren't as fun? Doctor Strange, to an extent. You know, the MCU is just more, it's better when the characters are having more fun, and I think you can tell that they're doing that in Spider-Man. Not to mention, you know, he's a tentpole character, in the MCU, and you know, now that, you know, Robert Downey Jr.'s out of the picture, and Chris Evans is out of the picture, and Scarlett Johansson's out of the picture, and I mean, I know you still have Thor and Bruce Banner and things like that, but Spider-Man's really, you know, one of, if not the biggest property in the MCU, and like they don't even have like full control over it because of the whole like Sony like rights distribution thing. But anyway, I really like these movies. The you know the MCU Spider-Man movies, Tom Holland's version, I think does a great job of nailing that again, nailing that like the fact that it's a kid. you know, like yes, he can do like all this cool and crazy shit. And you know, he's an entertaining hero, but at the same time, like he's a kid, so it's like some of the stuff he like gets upset about it is very like juvenile, but at the same time, it's also it just makes it easy to understand. And even with the like the trailer we just saw come out, like we've seen like at the end of No Way Home or Far From Home. We saw him kind of like accept the fact that like he is Spider-Man and like you know he's this like adult now, you know he's got to be the best Spider-Man he can be. And then in No Way Home, the premise is he's like it's almost like Aladdin, like he has like a wish or something that he made. Then Doctor Strange is like this genie that can you know fix all of his problems. So he's just like, oh, like I wish like nobody knew who I was and like this and that, and then you know things go awry. Which I think was a step back from the character development. And granted, that's just the trailer. I bet we're gonna dive into it a little more in the actual movie. But the I think that step took away from his arc that we saw in No Way Home because at the beginning of or sorry, Far From Home, they I really wish they would just go back to like Spider-Man 1, 2, 3. Especially when all the titles have home in them. But yeah, I think, you know, at the beginning of the movie, he's still, you know, grieving, you know, the death of Tony Stark. It's really the first time in the MCU we see the aftermath of the blip, you know, or the snap, whatever you want to call it. You know, and Spider-Man was one of the characters that got blipped away. So when he comes back, you know, he's in the dark as everyone else is. Well, not maybe not as in the dark, but, you know, he's rejoining society. All these years later. And, you know, it looks like most of his friends did too. But, you know, we see some of the way, like some of the struggles people are having, you know, by bringing half the world back at once. We see, you know, what people know and don't know about Thanos and what Iron Man did and Captain America and stuff like that. And so it's interesting. That's what's interesting about the MCU is like it does this whole like world, establishing, okay, like here's what happened after the biggest thing that's happened in the biggest franchise in movie history. And then, there's I love what they did with Jake Gyllenhaal's character here, Quentin Beck as Mysterio. The fact that he's able to just believably pull off this, like, oh yeah, like there's like a warp, like a, time dimensional thing, and like he's from another dimension, and this and that, and like, and he's this. I mean, he plays a. I think he's a great adversary. He's a very interesting character. I actually wouldn't be surprised if he's really dead. If I mean, I could completely see him come back because his whole thing is illusion. And I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal just knocked it out of the park with this thing, and they kind of left it open ended. Well, so again, his whole thing is illusion, and like, how many things did Mysterio show us? Because like, his whole thing was like he would have these like drones and projections go, like these digital projections of like mass destruction being done to cities and like this and that, and and I mean, there's that really great sequence in the middle of the film where him and Spider-Man are kind of having that standoff. And he's just playing like all these like optical illusions on him, not really knowing. So Spider-Man doesn't know where he's fighting, and he's seeing one thing, but he's really like fighting a warehouse, and he's like punching pillars and stuff like that when he thinks he's hitting Mysterio. Like, it's a really, really great sequence. So it wouldn't surprise me if they brought Quentin Beck back. So, and I love that because, as we've said many a time here, we're big Jake Gyllenhaal fans on the show, and I think that he absolutely nailed it with. With this role, so I'd love to see him back in the MCU, and I think he just makes a great villain as well. I mean, eventually some of these villains some of these villains don't have to be one-off villains. Like, I think Mysterio has the potential to kind of fuck with a bunch of other people, but I mean, with Sony and the whole Spider-Man rights and things like that, like, who knows what they're actually going to be at, but what they're actually going to be able to do with him. So I'm just saying, I'm not going to be surprised if he shows up in the third movie that comes out. But yeah, I mean, it's I love the arc we see again. He goes from grieving and how can I like fill Iron Man's shoes and this and that, and like he's Tony Stark has this big legacy, and he left it all to me and this and that. And then he it takes a lot of talking to other people, particularly Happy Hogan. It's just like, you know what, like, you got to be the best Spider-Man you can be. Like, nobody's gonna fill up to his shoes and this and that. So then we start to see him become Spider-Man, his Spider-Man, not Spider-Boy, anymore. So, but at the same time, there's still that like childish, like fun, thing. He's like trying to hide his identity, which I feel like a lot of the other characters in the MCU, like, unless I'm drawing a blank here, like Spider-Man's the only one that tries to conceal his identity. Like, I mean, you have Iron Man walking around. Which I understand like why that was so big when it like when the first time it came out, when Tony Stark has his whole like I am Iron Man press conference, because it was so different from everything that we've been seeing in like the DC movies, and like Batman, his whole thing is like nobody can know that I'm Batman, but here he is, this billionaire playboy just being like, yep, I'm Iron Man, here I am. But then like people know who Steve Rogers is, people know who Thor is. I mean, there's really no concealing stuff like that. I don't really know if the public knows about Ant-Man too much. I'm drawing a blank on that one, but like we see with in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the TV show that came out, they actually kind of dived into their celebrity a little bit. People talk to Sam Wilson about, like, hey, like, do you guys get paid? And like, people recognize him, they would take pictures with them. They, they're asking questions about the other Avengers and stuff like that. And then Spider-Man is just the one guy who's, adamant that he's, keeps his identity hidden, which I thought was interesting. And I didn't really put those two dots together until now. But obviously, that gets exposed at the end of the movie with in the post-credit scene with J.K. Simmons reprising his role as J. Jonah Jameson from the Sam Raimi trilogy. You know, the original Spider-Man's. Sam Raimi, Michigan State, go green. So yeah, it was. I love just the story arc here because, you know, we come in knowing what Peter's dealing with. We see him kind of deal with that, and then he sets himself up to be in a much better spot going forward. You know, he's starting to tell more people who he is, and he's kind of starting to really embrace. You know, that idea that, you know, he's supposed to be a hero now, and, you know, he's not just, like, this kid anymore. And then, you know, his identity gets revealed at the end, and it just kind of all goes to shit. So, a lot of questions. And then, ironically, and not really ironically, but coincidentally, and the world shut down after that. You know, Phase 4 was coming around the corner. We were going to get answers a lot sooner than we got them. But we still don't know where what Spider-Man is doing in Phase 4, you know, ever since. Let's see, we've had WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, What If is playing out now, Loki, and Black Widow, the movie came out, and then Shang-Chi is actually coming out this week on Friday, so, which, I don't know if I'm going to be able to see it opening weekend, because I have to go to a wedding next weekend, but I will see what I can do. I like, with all the MCU movie stuff, and, like, just based on, like, how much, like, I read online, I hate spoilers, so I try to go see them on opening night if I can, but, I mean, I would imagine this wedding is going to put a dent in those plans, but it's also a long weekend, so, maybe I'll just go see it on Sunday or Monday or something like that, and the fact that I'll be at a wedding will take away from the fact, you know, from any spoilers, so. But no, I'm very, very excited for that one. That's the first movie that's really introducing major characters. I know Black Widow introduced, you know, Yelena and everything, but we all knew who Black Widow was at that point. We don't know anything about any of the characters in Shang-Chi. Although supposedly Wong is going to be in it from Doctor Strange, who is also in the Spider-Man trailer. So we'll see about that one. He's going to be all over the place. I know so we've seen him in two trailers for movies coming out this year, and then there's another Doctor Strange movie coming out next year, so isn't the MCU fun to keep track of all these little fun, adorable things? I'm excited after that one. But anyway, this movie itself, back to Far From Home. I think, like I said before, I love the cast on this one, Tom Holland and Jake Gyllenhaal especially. But you know, Jon Favreau as Happy Hogan is an amazing comedic relief in this one. I think he's so funny. Jon Favreau, we've talked about this before, is one of the best storytellers. And I think he's one of the guys in movies who I feel just, like, gets it. You know, not only from, you know, telling a good story, but also a crowd pleaser. But he can write, direct, act. Like, he's this jack-of-all-trades guy, which I think is really cool. And there's not many guys like Jon Favreau, but he's I'd love to see more Happy Hogan in the MCU moving forward. I don't know if he's going to be back for the next Spider-Man movie, but we'll see. And then, you know, you have Zendaya as MJ, Jacob Batalon as Ned, Tony Revolori, who I still think it's weird that they're trying to pass him off as a kid. Because I think, let's see, he is, oh my God, he's younger than me. 1996, so that means he's 25. Oh, so he must have been really young when he did Grand Budapest Hotel. But either way, he's always going to be the guy from Grand Budapest for me. Andrea Rice, we know we've seen her in The Nice Guys. I think we did an episode about The Nice Guys at some point. If not, we did. It's been mentioned a couple times, whether it's in Rapid Fire Reviews or one of those. I think we did. Didn't we do an episode about, like, movies that need sequels? And I think The Nice Guys was one of them. So, but yeah, then you have Martin Starr and J.B. Smoove, you know, they're killing it, as they usually do. Colby Smulders is back. Samuel Jackson's back as Nick Fury. Ben Mendelsohn's in it for a little bit there at the end. You know, it's revealed that, you know, Fury was a Skrull, and, you know, the real Fury's in space somewhere. So who knows what that's setting up. Well, although it's probably that Secret Invasion TV show that's coming out. The cast is great. You know, the action sequences are, you know, really something here, that especially that one in the middle. I told you about where Mysterio is just playing all those illusions on Spider-Man, and he thinks that he finally kills him off, but of course he doesn't. But no, just really, really cool stuff from John Watson. John Watson, the director. we've talked about some of his movies before. He did the first, so he did this Spider-Man, and then he did Spider-Man Homecoming, which was the original in the trilogy, and then he's also doing No Way Home, which comes out in December. So they gave him the keys to the whole trilogy, which is great. But he's also done a Cop Car, which we reviewed at some point. Kevin, really cool Kevin Bacon movie. I think you can find it on Netflix. But go check that out if you can. Nice little indie flick, short one as well. Yeah, I think maybe it's just that one. Yeah, I think it is. Looks like he's done a lot of music videos other than that. But yeah, no, and Marissa Tomei as well. I forgot, can't overlook her. Yeah, no, these are just fun movies to me. They're not in my, top echelon of MCU movies. I think they're kind of right there in the middle, but because Spider-Man is such a key figure in the MCU and it's such a big property, I know they kind of throw a lot of stuff in there. And it's, I don't know, he's a guy who gets to play around with, like, all these different people, and, like, you know, we see different things get introduced in Spider-Man movies and stuff like that. And, like, maybe it's just because, like, you know, I feel like like I said, there's been 7 or 8 Spider-Man movies at this point, so it's like, I kind of get it by this point, and I know there's more coming, and, you know, I don't know what Tom Holland's, like, you know, how long he's going to be in the MCU for. But, you know, compared to, like, some of the smaller guys, like, you know, the Guardians and Doctor Strange and Ant-Man, like, you know, the lesser-known heroes, like, those are the more interesting movies to me. At least in my opinion. So, but yeah, no, I mean, these are perfectly fine movies. I think, I liked Far From Home better than Homecoming, and I'm very excited for, No Way Home, because I think it's going to be the first time that we really see the multiverse play out in the movies. We've kind of seen some groundwork laid in Loki, the TV show. You know, we saw the very beginning of it there. I don't know what the deal is going to be with Shang-Chi, just because, you know, it's a new character, and, like, I don't know how crazy they're trying to get with, you know, showing off everything. But no, I think it's going to be a key piece of the MCU moving forward, and I'm very excited for it. But yeah, overall, like I said, I like this one. Not one of my favorite MCU movies. It's perfectly right there in the middle, but it's a good, fun movie. I didn't even, like, plan on watching it. I just kind of threw it on. It was on TV the other night, and I just kind of kept watching it. You know, I didn't watch the whole thing beginning to end. I probably caught it, like, 15, 20 minutes into the actual movie, but then I was just hooked, so I just kept watching it. So, yeah, that was that. All right, let's get into some Did You Knows. Then we got a few quick rapid-fire reviews for this week. All right, first one, Peter creates his new Spider-Man suit with a sense of purpose and resolve. Costume designer Anna B. Shepherd says, "This suit is Peter's vision for Spider-Man." She elaborates, "He is no longer trying to be Iron Man." So that's kind of cool that, and you kind of see that, like, the suit he comes up with is drastically different than the ones that we see in the other ones. And, like, if you saw the suit in the new trailer, you know, that one's a little different. So it's kind of cool that, you know, especially because, you know, my interpretation of the suit was, you know, it's like he made it himself. And, you know, it kind of lines up with, you know, the Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire version where, you know, he literally made it himself, even though I don't know how a teenage boy has seamstress skills like that. but no, the fact that it's like the suit that, like, has all these, like, computer components and things like that, I thought it was really, really cool. And it's also cool to see that, you know, Peter's smart enough to, you know, work this technology, even though he's just this young kid. So, but yeah, no, very, very cool. All right, moving on. This is the first time Jake Gyllenhaal has been associated with a Spider-Man film. Originally, he was going to replace Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man in Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 2, after Maguire was injured during the filming of Seabiscuit. But luckily, his injuries healed up, and he was able to return to the set. I'm trying to think. Isn't there a movie with Jake Gyllenhaal and Tobey Maguire already? I think it's Brothers or something like that. I'm pulling it up. Brothers Brothers. Yeah, Brothers. Okay. Brothers came out in 2009. I've only seen it once, but it was pretty good. It's from Jim Sheridan, who, if you don't recognize that name, he's directed some pretty good movies. Get Rich or Die Tryin', and The Name of the Father, My Left Foot. So, you know, he's been around the block a couple of times. Jake Gyllenhaal and Tobey Maguire are brothers. I think they both get deployed. No, so Tobey Maguire's character gets deployed. He gets shot down and, like, is a POW and stuff like that. And he comes back and basically his brother's shacking up with his wife, played by Jake Gyllenhaal. So it's funny how that works out. But, Jake Gyllenhaal back then would have been a good Spider-Man, I think. But Tobey Maguire was also just, like, a perfect Spider-Man, at least to me he was. But I was also, like, 8 when the movie came out, so what do I know? But I just remember, at the time, it was the highest grossing opening weekend of any movie ever. Spider-Man was a huge, huge success, and it was an integral movie. And, really, blockbuster filmmaking for the next 20 years. I know it wasn't the first superhero movie. You know, there were all the Tim Burton Batman movies, and there was, like, Blade. Trinity, I think, was out, and there's been other ones, but Spider-Man was like a big deal. Spider-Man was a huge deal, and it kind of kicked off this whole like superhero revolution. Like, so you started seeing this stuff coming out. Then Superman started getting more attention. Batman gets more attention, and then that leads to connected universes. The MCU and everything. Even though that wasn't canon with the MCU. Spider-Man walked so Iron Man could run, if that makes sense. So I gotta watch that one again. I love the original Spider-Man. I'd love to give that one another viewing sometime. All right. Last, did you know? Boy, howdy, what do I want to do for this one? There's just so many to choose from. Like, way too many to choose from. No, that's a dumb one. No, that's dumb. I don't get that one. No, dumb. That one's not as dumb, but it's still pretty dumb. This is just great listening. So thanks for sticking around, folks. Both Samuel L. Jackson and Jon Favreau have played roles in the Star Wars universe. Jackson can be seen as Mace Windu in episodes 1-3, while Favreau voiced Rio Durant in Solo, A Star Wars Story. And of course, he's also the brains behind The Mandalorian, which is the best piece of Star Wars content that they have put out there since the original Star Wars movie, which, I know I didn't... I'll call it the original trilogy because I was alive for both the new trilogies and they both stunk, and Solo was fine. Solo was a perfectly fine movie. I think it probably got a little more hate than was warranted for it. And then Rogue One was also pretty good. But The Mandalorian is just far and above anything that they're doing. Like, what Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni are doing with that thing is just absolutely incredible. And there's a Boba Fett series coming out later this year. So, excited for that one as well. And an Obi-Wan Kenobi show eventually. So, good. This has been a good, like, nerd episode. We basically just talk Spider-Man and Star Wars the whole time. Love me some superheroes. Let's rank the movie, scale of 1 to 5 hazmats. And I will give Spider-Man Far From Home just a solid 3.5 hazmats for me. Like I said before, it is a perfectly fine movie. It's fun. The action is, pretty great. It ties in with the rest of the MCU pretty well. It's probably in the middle of the pack for me. Because the MCU is something like, they really don't have many bad movies. And they're like, it's only like 2 or 3 that are just like, this one stinks. And everything else is just like, just so good. They've got their formula down at this point. And then there's some that are absolutely amazing. This is one of the like good middle of the pack movies, if you ask me. So, if you had to, because I think there's 22 movies now. Like, if you had to rank them all in order, I'd probably put it in the top half, just because I also just wasn't a huge fan of some of the earlier ones. Really everything in Phase 1 just didn't really do it for me. I've told the story a bunch of times how, like, I didn't really get into the MCU until I was a little later on in the game once I saw Guardians of the Galaxy for the first time. And then I was like, oh, what's this? What's this? What's this? What's this? And you know, the Iron Man movies don't do it for me. The Thor movies don't do it for me. The Hulk doesn't do it for me. It's really once they start doing the weird stories, that's when it's great. So, and I can't wait to see what they're doing moving forward. You know, they have Shang-Chi, they have the Eternals, they have, you know, this new Spider-Man thing. A lot of the TV shows that, you know, they've all been great so far. So I love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right. But anyway, 3.5 hazmats for Spider-Man Far From Home. Okay. Let's, a bit of a light week, for me. Like I said, it was a lot of TV. I watched, like I said, Stranger Things is just absolutely incredible. Worth a binge every now and then. We only started binging it because we thought that, season 4 is going to be coming out around Christmas, and we're just like, oh, hey, like, we're, you know, we're all in between shows right now, like, let's just do this so we can do whatever. And then, like, just after we started, I think, like, the day we started it, they were like, oh, it's coming in 2022 officially. I'm just like, shit. So jumping in a little bit, but at the same time, great, just a great fucking show, man. I also watched the first couple episodes of this new show on FX called Reservation Dogs. It's essentially follows a series of kids on a Native American reservation in Oklahoma who are, you know, commit a series of crimes. They're trying to basically get out. It's a comedy, very unique. I'm interested. Taika Waititi's involved in it. I think he's one of the creator. He's the creator or the producer or something like that. But no, I like it. I'm only like 2 or 3 episodes in at this point, and my interest has peaked. It's very, very unique sense of humor. But FX really is, I don't think, gets nearly enough credit for how good their original programming is. Like, I feel like everyone's always talking about like HBO and AMC and you know, all the streaming services and stuff like that. And then FX is just always there, just dragging their nuts on the table. You know, Dave and Atlanta, the American Crime Story series, Always Sunny. I mean, comedies, I mean, they're killing it. But you know, dramas as well. I mean, they have Sons of Anarchy. They have very few bad shows. Yeah, Reservation Dogs, you can see it on Hulu now, so go check that out. But one movie I did watch this week, which I watched this morning, was Annette. New movie starring Adam Driver and Marion Cotillard? I don't know how to say her name. It's too French. but it was, it's something. So the movie's getting a lot of buzz. I think a lot of it, having seen it now, is just like the internet's obsession with Adam Driver. And he really is one of the great actors working today. I firmly believe that. How old is he? I mean, he's 1983, so that means he's 38, 39, something like that. I mean, he's probably a top 5 actor under 40, if you ask me. And he's good in this movie. It's a very weird movie. Very, very odd movie. It's a musical, like, opera about Adam Driver plays a stand-up comedian and Marion Cotillard's, like, this dancer or opera singer or something like that, and they're this married couple, and they have this baby, and the baby has these weird gifts and everything. It's very a lot of surrealism. As far as musicals go, one of the least fun ones you'll ever see. You know, there's no real fun show-stopping numbers in it. It's more just like they're singing the whole time rather than, you know, a traditional musical, which, you know, I respect. You know, it's, you know, I like when directors go out on a ledge. You know, these were tough roles, for Adam Driver in particular, but yeah, and, you know, Marion Cotillard, she's, you know, won an Oscar, singing in movies before when she did La Vie en Rose. But, you know, I've never seen Adam Driver do something like this. We've seen him sing for a little bit in Marriage Story. But, I mean, he can just do any genre he wants right now. I think he's a guy who's at the top of his game in his prime. And he can pick whatever movie he wants and people are going to put him in it because he's that good. And he chose this, like, obscure musical. It was clearly a challenge for him. Because he's not that great a singer, and he, of course, picks a role where he has to sing the whole time. And it's, you know, between the set pieces and, you know, the actual choreography and The story, which is very, very odd. This was a tough role for him. So warranted Oscar buzz, I think. Everything I've heard about I've read about the movie just praised like his performance. Movie's not gonna be for everybody. I'm telling you that right now because I did not enjoy the movie. I respect it, as a connoisseur of film and yada yada, but I mean, boy howdy, this movie's no fun, and it is a long 2.5 hours, I'll tell you that much. But no, Adam Driver's great, Mary Cotillard is great. Interesting role from Simon Helberg, one of the guys from The Big Bang Theory. I think this is one of the few times I've seen him not in that show. And he did a pretty good job as well. So, but no, it is it's not a very fun movie. A lot of surrealism, imagery, and if you're expecting like Grease or something like that, like that kind of musical, it is certainly not that. So, I would not recommend it. But if you're an Adam Driver fan, go nuts. And that's really the only reason why I would suggest watching it. Yeah, that was the only movie. I guess, yeah, all week. That was the only, other than Magnolia, which we did an episode on the other day. Oh, that's not true. Reminiscence. I forgot I watched this. I was just scrolling through my IMDb. Reminiscence with Hugh Jackman and Tandy Newton and Rebecca Ferguson. New movie. It's on HBO. It's from Lisa Joy, written and directed by Lisa Joy. Lisa Joy is one of the creators of. Along with her husband Jonathan Nolan, who's the brother of Christopher Nolan, they're one of the creators on Westworld, which, the first season of Westworld I've said before is one of the best seasons of television I think I've ever seen. The second one, it started to unravel a little bit. I think I don't know if it was like ever meant to be like a series. I think it was just supposed to be like one season and done. And then second season is like, all right, there's a little bit too much going on. Like, where are we going here? By the third season, it was just like, all right, what the fuck is happening? And then you hear they're making a fourth one. I'm just like, well, what the fuck are they gonna do? Like they're kind of all out of everything now. So, but I mean, it was interesting. The movie's basically about Hugh Jackman, basically is able to use this technology that is able to access people's memories, and it lets people essentially relive their memories, at least that. Attain all like the nostalgic feelings from it, whether it's your brain chemicals or the physical sensations or anything like that. And it kind of unravels into this like neon noir is the best term I could find for it. It's this it has this very old like black and white kind of like 1920s and like 30s and 40s like kind of like tough guy like cop show, like the detective who's looking for the dame, that kind of thing. But of course it takes place in the future in like Miami, so there's like all these like the world that they built was kind of cool. The set design was great for this one, but the story was just a little meh, if you ask me. And like the dialogue is awful. The dialogue is just absolutely god awful in this movie. Hugh Jackman, I like Hugh Jackman, I really do. So I was rooting for him. I read a good review for this movie. I had high hopes for it, and then I just didn't like it. I don't, I hate being a hater, especially when it's, actors you like and a writer and director that you like and things like that. And it just doesn't, it's just not good. That's the best thing I could say for it. Like the story here was just not a very good one, kind of all over the place, and directional wise, like I think they just didn't really know what they wanted to do with it. Like they clearly wanted to make like an old school, like detective, like mystery set in the future. So it's like it looks cool and everything like that, but like it's just so cheesy and dumb. And like even though I will say there's one sequence near the end, there's a lot of slow burn in this movie, and a lot of it leads up to this big payoff. And the payoff would have been great if they just ended the movie where they ended it, but they don't. It just keeps going. I don't want to get into it too much, but no, overall, I think it was just poor direction. If you ask me on this one, so I'm not a huge fan of Reminiscence. But if you want to check it out, if you like Lisa Joy, you like Hugh Jackman and Tandy Newton and all that stuff, it is on HBO right now. Probably will be for a limited time. I know it's one of those ones that, like, the it's also in theaters, but it just lined up with HBO. So it's probably only going to be on there for another, like, 2 or 3 weeks, I would imagine. But I wouldn't say that you're missing much. So no true rush, if you ask me. But yes, okay. So, yeah, it was Annette and Reminiscence and Magnolia were the only movies I watched as we began Spider-Man. But Magnolia, we did a whole episode on the last episode, so you can go check that out. And I also started rewatching The Haunting of Hill House. I don't know why. Maybe it's because football season's around the corner. But I'm feeling maybe it's because I'm watching Stranger Things. But I'm feeling very spooky right now between Stranger Things and, like, I really want to start getting more into Mike Flanagan stuff. I know he's got a bunch of things on Netflix that I want to check out. But before I got into any of those movies, Haunting of Hill House, I just had to go back and rewatch just one more time. So I'm 2 episodes into that. Probably gonna go as soon as I'm done recording here. I'm probably gonna start a third one. So, but yeah, still a great show. Still a great show. Definitely a good fall Halloweeny show, even if it's August. But okay, so that is gonna do it for this week. 200th episode coming up. I think this is 196, 197. I can actually pull that up right now. It is. Yeah, this is episode 197. So after this, we only got three more. So the countdown is on to 200. Still don't know what I'm gonna do yet, but we'll figure it out. But yeah, so by now, hopefully you know. You can follow us on social media at Quarantinema Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also subscribe to the show on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever podcasts are heard. You can find us there. So that is gonna do it for us this week. In the meantime, don't be a hero. Stay inside and watch a movie.